And we're going to turn to God's Word today, Romans chapter 6. And this chapter is certainly a blessed chapter. I say this now after avoiding it for many years, and I'm glad to know the message of Romans 6. At the beginning of the chapter, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The apostle then proves through this chapter that the doctrines of grace do not lead to sin, but lead to holiness in those who are truly born of God. So today, we are going to begin our reading at verse 6. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 6. We'll read down just a little way into this chapter. Romans 6 and verse 6. Let us consider God's message to us today. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I read was because that is actually the tense in the original language in all the texts, not just in one. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. There it's very obvious that death had a short, temporary dominion over him because he voluntarily submitted to that dominion until he came out of that grave in his exaltation. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon, that is, conclude, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of verse 13. Verse 13 is our text for today. And we do pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would take His Word today and minister it deeply into our hearts, that we would receive something of real value, of eternal value, that will help us now and to all eternity, for Jesus' sake. Romans 6 and verse 13 is one of those military texts. It is about the fight that is going on with very real weapons. You may not see it clearly in the English, but there's a word translated twice that literally means weapons, arms of warfare. And I trust that God will give us grace today as we consider this. We've been singing some hymns that talk about war, and we understand that there is a war going on. It is a war between the Lord and wickedness and sin. And praise God, the war has a very certain end. because our Savior has carried out victoriously the greatest battle of that war, and He has determined even the outcome before there was ever a world what that outcome would be. So we're going to consider as part of the church militant. That is a proper term for us here on earth. The church triumphant is there in the glory, but we are still here on the battlefield, and we need to take to ourselves the whole armor of God. Now, to begin with our text, the Reverend Isaac Tickner was the pastor of the First Baptist Church down in Montgomery, Alabama, for 16 years. But he took a leave of absence for a couple of years to serve as a chaplain in the 17th Alabama Infantry Regiment in the Confederate States Army. At the Battle of Shiloh in 1862, Reverend Tickner picked up a Colt repeating rifle. That rifle was made in Connecticut. And he turned that rifle upon the side from which that rifle had come. And he shot and killed 2 Union officers and 4 Union privates. He was not the only Alabama chaplain that did such. The Reverend William D. Chadwick, a Presbyterian, had bought a Union rifle up at Harper's Ferry in Virginia. And he said that he made the proper use of that instrument by fighting the rascals with one of their own weapons. Now, these 2 men of God illustrate for us what Paul is commanding here in verse 13. There's a very simple outline, 3 points and 3 words. No, yes, and completely. Those are the 3 points. No, yes, and completely. And we'll extend them just a little bit, but you can remember very simply by that, no, yes, and completely. First of all, no, we are told not to let any part of us serve the cause of the enemy. Number 2, yes, we are rather to use every weapon against the enemy to thus further the cause of God. And then thirdly, since we are risen with Christ, let us completely commit our whole being to the Lord. So we're going to consider these 3 points, God helping us. Number 1, no, we are told not to let any part of us serve the cause of the enemy. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, I have a note in my Bible that I didn't notice here before, but it says in front, it has a little number right in front of the word instruments, and I go to the center column, and it says arms or weapons. Your Bible may have that clue also. Well, Paul has carefully shown believers, first, our blessed union with Christ. By faith alone, we are united to Jesus Christ. This happy doctrine of our union with Christ teaches us that we died to sin when He died. Now, verse 11, we conclude. There in verse 11, likewise, conclude. That word reckon is translated in another place, conclude. We are to conclude this from the gospel, that we died with Jesus Christ, and thus we are dead in Him. In verse 12 begins another doctrine. This was our doctrine of our union with Christ. Now the doctrine of sanctification really begins in verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. sin is not going to reign in the real you if you are indeed a believer, a true believer in Christ. But sin will endeavor to reign in this old fallen mortal body. Since we are free in Christ, we must not let sin reign in our mortal bodies. The whole physical body, with its passions, with its feelings, must be disciplined by our new man. Now, Paul moves from the whole mortal body in verse 12 to the parts of the mortal body in verse 13. To each of the individual parts of this body, he calls them members. Obviously, in this work of sanctification, we can't just lie down and do nothing. I'm just going to let the Lord take me right on to glory. We are not just to let go and let God, expecting to go to heaven on flowery beds of ease. No, we are soldiers that must exert ourselves in a very real spiritual warfare. Now, sin is addressed as the enemy in verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't serve sin. Sin is spoken of here as though it were a person. Well, sin is expressed by persons. Well, let's understand that. Sin is expressed by persons, whether demonic, worldlings, or our own mortal bodies, sin is thereby expressed. Our members that would play the traitor and collaborate with the enemy are our various parts. Our eyes, our hands, and any other part of our mortal bodies. But not just the parts that we can see. These members of ours also include our emotions, our imagination, and our other mental faculties. You know, you can sin through a part of your mortal body that is your imagination by imagining the wrong things. We are not even to use our imaginations regarding God. We are to have our thoughts of God controlled by what the Word of God says about Him. We are not to follow our imaginations regarding God and His worship, because very early in the book of Genesis, the Lord tells us that the imagination of the thoughts of our hearts are only evil continually. Doesn't throw a good light on our imaginations. But so we have to bring these things, these parts of our mortal bodies under subjection to Jesus Christ. We must not for a moment present any of these members of ours to the enemy for its use. We must not yield into the enemy's camp. This word yield literally means to place at the disposal of, or to allow to use, or to be of service to. We must not let any one of our members be of service to the enemy. Sin, in any of its expressions. We must not allow sin any opportunity or make any provision for the flesh to use our members for sin. We may think, well, we're on break time. Yeah. You have to be aware. Even when you think this is a time when I can just relax, I'm not going to worry about anything, we must be wary. We must be vigilant, because our spiritual enemies are always vigilant, always ready to take advantage, to use any snare, any wile to draw our members into sin. Now, our members are used as instruments of either righteousness or unrighteousness. The word instruments here comes from a Greek word that literally means arms or weapons. We must not allow our members of our mortal bodies to be used as weapons against the kingdom of grace. One of the church fathers, John Chrysostom, wrote, "The innocently curious eye can easily become the lustful eye. The unbridled tongue easily ventures into slanderous speech." So we have to exercise ourselves by saying no, first of all. "Neither yield ye your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin for the service of sin." So we come secondly to the yes. Yes, we are rather to use every weapon against the enemy to thus advance the cause of Jesus Christ. Just as Reverend Ticknor picked up the repeating Colt rifle and used it upon the enemies, even so let us use every member, every instrument, and every weapon to fight the good fight of faith. Paul counsels Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Let us keep our great captain in sight. Let us focus on him and have each weapon, each member ready to strike forward instantly at his least command. It is because we are alive from the dead that we even have the privilege of being soldiers in the kingdom of grace. It's because we have been made alive in Him. Alive from the dead. Risen with Him. Because before we were dead, we were unconscious, unresponsive to the great captain, had not even an awareness there was a battle or a war going on. We were dead to righteousness and only existed as slaves to sin. Our constant activity was sin and rebellion against the cause of God and truth. But now that we are alive from the dead, now that we are alive to God, we have every reason on earth, and every reason in heaven to use every part of our being for His glory, showing our gratitude to Him for His saving grace. Yes. What does He say? He says, "But yield, present in the service of, give yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness unto God." Finally, we should completely give and commit our whole being to Christ and to His cause. Yield yourselves unto God. The second yield here in verse 13 is quite different from the first yield. In the tense in the Greek, there's a wide difference in this verb. The first yield in verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." That yield is a simple present imperative, which means that at no time, now or later, should we be presenting our members as weapons for sinful purposes. Now, that's one thing. All right. But this second yield, down at the bottom of verse 13, "We are to yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and our members as weapons of righteousness unto God." This yield is an aorist imperative. It is the strongest form that expresses a point in time. That we are once and for all. Here is a command that we dedicate, that we bequeath our whole being to Christ and to His cause, once and forever. Our whole being consecrated to Him with all of our members for His kingdom. Now here we get back to the whole mortal body. Verse 12, the apostle was dealing especially with the whole of the mortal body. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Now, what is our mortal body being called upon to be? To be presented to God absolutely and completely. We thank God. As verse 17 says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants or slaves of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. We thank God that now, no longer slaves to sin, we actually find within our hearts the endeavor to obey the Lord. Have you ever just been shocked about yourself? Why did I do that? That was totally contrary to nature. I can't believe that I had that kind of spiritual reaction. You know, that's a real blessing if you ever have that experience. Why did I do that? That wasn't me. That was wonderful. That was the grace of God at work in me. I'm no longer the slave of sin, but I'm obeying from the heart, even at times when I'm not fully conscious of what's going on. Here's this response. Let's go God's way. I said, wow, this is really neat. I love this. That ever happened to you? It's almost like you see the Lord working in your life in stages through the years. And you say, Lord, I'm really struggling to get victory in a certain area. And you pray about it. And then the Lord starts giving you help in that particular area. It's an encouragement. So we thank God that although we were once the servants of sin, we now endeavor to obey the Lord from our heart. We who were slaves to sin are freed and have become rather slaves unto righteousness. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the slaves of righteousness. What a wonderful, beneficial slavery this is. To be a slave to righteousness. I want to be that kind of slave. I think of Buckwheat, you know. Buckwheat was on the riverboat in General Spanky. And he came up to people and he said, can I be your slave? And I'm thinking, I want to be the slave of righteousness. Indeed. And it's even the grace of God that would give us such a desire. Our members, our bodies, and all of our body parts are not inherently evil. It's not that this body is just evil. No, because the Scriptures tell us that when God had made everything, at the end of Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, He says that everything, that it was all very good. Well, where did the problem come from? The problems began with the fall of our first parents into sin. This resulted in sin suddenly taking and using our members and our whole being to further the cause of sin in this world, on this planet. But thanks be to God, indeed, for redeeming grace that has been decreed for every believing sinner. Redeeming grace decreed for every believing sinner. Although our bodies are awaiting redemption and are groaning, as Romans 8:23 says, that great day will certainly come when our mortal bodies will be totally free from sin and from the effects of sin. But we still have to wrestle. We still have to fight and pray, forcing every member of our mortal bodies to serve as weapons of righteousness. Thank God, the great eternal day is coming. Relief and rest are on the way. Entire sanctification will be ours when we see Him. We'll be like Him when we see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, the apostle says in 1 John. We began this morning referring to the chaplains who took the weapons that would be used by the enemies and turned those very weapons against them. Let us use these members that God has put in our mortal bodies, the ones, these members, every one of them, that the enemy would love to use in the cause of sin. And let us instead turn these weapons upon our enemies against the kingdom of darkness for the sake of the kingdom of grace. Let us use our members to fight against God's enemies. Neither yield ye your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God once and for all as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness unto God. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we praise Thee for grace that is greater than all our sin. And Lord, when we survey the landscape of our sin, even in the past, O God, we're overwhelmed with Thy marvelous forgiveness for the power of the blood of Jesus that has made us white as snow. And we praise Thee that even though there is still in our memory something of our sin, we praise Thee that Thou hast forgotten our sin. Thou hast buried it in the depths of the sea. We thank Thee that our very sins in the mind of God have been completely dissolved. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy truth to our hearts. Help us to dedicate ourselves and consecrate ourselves completely to Thee for Thy service and for Thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.